Last week, Willie Veazey stepped out of the Criminal Justice Center in Philadelphia, flanked by family members. A crowd of reporters approached him as he took his first steps as a free man in 27 years.
How does it feel?
It feels wonderful, grateful. I get to spend the rest of my life with my family the way it always been. Yes. I get to walk out of here the same way I walked in.
That's right.
As an innocent man.
Veazey was exonerated last week after lawyers discovered that two detectives had pressured him into confessing to a crime he didn't commit. He's the 10th person convicted of murder whose case has been overturned since Philadelphia District Attorney Larry Krasner took office almost 2 years ago. That's not an accident.
Guilty people get convicted. Innocent people shouldn't be sitting in a jail cell. It's not that hard.
Why did officers force Veazey to lie? And why could coerced confessions like his become a new focus for a DA's office intent on criminal justice reform? I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. This is The Why. My co-host Annette John Hall spoke to Chris Palmer about Veazey's case. Chris covers the criminal justice system for the Philadelphia Inquirer.
Chris, tell me about what happened to Willie Veazey.
Willie Veazey's story starts back in 1992. There was a murder in which two people were actually shot. One man named John Lewis died from his injuries. 6 months later, Willie Veazey got arrested for that crime after a woman who said she was an eyewitness said she had seen several people, and then one of them was Willie Veazey, and that he was involved in the killing in which John Lewis died. Willie Veazey then got brought in to the homicide unit, and he was questioned by detectives who included one by the name of Martin Devlin and another by the name of Paul Worrell. After this interrogation, he signed a confession to the crime. And that became a key piece of evidence against him in this case. It was charged as a capital case, so he was actually facing a potential death sentence. But Willie Veazey had some convincing evidence of his own. He had time cards and witnesses who said he was working at a Houlihan's restaurant in Jenkintown, about 8 miles from the crime scene. And it took jurors 4 days to deliberate, and they came back and convicted him of second-degree murder, which spared him a death sentence, but secured him a life behind bars.
If his lawyer said he wasn't there, though, why did he sign a confession?
So Veazey's lawyers now say that they believe that his confession was coerced by some of the detectives he talked to, including Martin Devlin and Paul Worrell. They say that Veazey was tired, he was maybe intimidated and scared, and that he signed the paperwork thinking that he might be able to go home. And prosecutors in a recent court filing, they went a step further saying that Veazey was hungover, that he was tired, that Detective Devlin slapped Veazey in the face to try and wake him up, that they tried to kick him in the groin, and that they basically gave him no choice and said, we have all day, we're going to stay here and you're going to sign this. And that's why he ultimately agreed, just to try and have the whole ordeal be over.
So he did appeal. What happened in his appeal?
He and his family have insisted since the time of the crime that he did not commit the murder, and they've sought to appeal it and have his case thrown out. That's a really high bar to cross in Pennsylvania. He filed a number of appeals right after his conviction. And then in recent years, he started filing additional appeals with the help of the Pennsylvania Innocence Project and Jim Figorski.
I'm an attorney at Deckard LLP in Philadelphia,
who helped work on this case pro bono. Jim was involved in another case in which the detectives Devlin and Worrell also had some involvement. The kind of most famous example, and the one that Jim and others have called the Rosetta Stone to this whole pattern, was the case of Anthony Wright.
Tony Wright was convicted, I believe, in 1993 for a 1991 murder of a woman named Louise Talley, who was 77 years old, and she had been raped and murdered.
Part of the case against him was a confession that he allegedly gave to Detective Devlin.
He claimed that he raped her, or he tried to rape her, I believe. And he was convicted basically based on his own confession. There was no physical evidence against him. There were no eyewitnesses who saw him commit the murder. I believe there were some witnesses who saw him in the area, but that's it. But he was basically found guilty because he allegedly confessed.
Anthony Wright said from the beginning that he was physically coerced into signing that confession.
Physically coerced? How?
He claims that he was beaten up and that he was threatened. And that Detective Devlin forced him to sign this under this type of coercion.
Many years later, the New York Innocence Project sought DNA testing, and the DNA test revealed that it was another person who actually had been at the crime scene that day. And Mr. Wright got a new trial and was found not guilty.
After Anthony Wright got acquitted, he sued the city, and he claimed that there was a pattern of detectives who were involved in his case securing faulty convictions in other cases. And what Veazey's lawyers have said is that through that process, we were given new evidence that showed that there were all of these cases that had coerced or problematic confessions also secured by Detectives Martin Devlin and Paul Worrell.
Basically, a series of trial and motion transcripts from the early 1990s in which people had testified that they were coerced to either confess or to change their statements. And each one of these people in these transcripts related some kind of duress. Threats, physical force, screaming, and each person either changed a witness statement or claimed to have falsely confessed.
So in August of this year, Jim Figorski and Veazey's lawyers filed this new appeal argument saying we have, I think it's four cases in which we have found evidence through these old homicide files that shows the same type of coercion, manipulation, and misconduct by these detectives to try and get people to sign confessions saying we committed the murder.
And Willie Veazey was subjected to screaming, to threats, to some physical force as well. And he claimed that he was forced to sign a confession that was not his.
And what their argument was in Veazey's case was, had we known about this, we could have put that up to a jury. And a jury who took 4 days to decide whether Willie was guilty of murder or not, this might have swung the way that they ruled in that case.
Hmm. When we come back,
it's just been in the last 2 decades, I think, that we've realized how fundamentally flawed our system can be and how we can actually get it wrong and convict innocent people.
This is The Why.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. My co-host Annette John Hall talked with Philadelphia Inquirer reporter Chris Palmer about a pattern of coerced confessions from two Philadelphia detectives. Attorneys for Willie Veazey used that information to overturn his 1993 murder conviction.
What happened with the appeal?
What was really interesting about this appeal is that the DA's office filed a reply to the appeal. And in a lot of cases, prosecutors will disagree with a defense argument and say, we don't actually know if this should be overturned. We disagree with you on this point. In Veazey's case, the prosecutors came into court and filed their answer saying, we essentially believe that Willie Veazey is likely innocent of this crime. We believe that his confession was coerced, and we are investigating whether these detectives have coerced confessions out of other people in old murder cases at the time. This is really unusual for a DA's office to do, and it was a really big admission. And the judge, in this case, ultimately agreed. And then decided that he was going to overturn the conviction.
It was an emotional day in Center City today as a Philadelphia man was freed decades after he was convicted of murder.
So the DA's office is actually re-examining these cases involving these two detectives, Devlin and Worrell.
I'm not sure at this point. They didn't say how many cases might be threatened, you know, how many they're reviewing and what the outcomes might be. But these were two detectives who spent a long time on the force. And
they're retired now, right, Chris?
Correct. Detective Devlin actually had a whole second act of his career in New Jersey, in which he spent a lot of time in Camden as a police officer over there. He said in a sworn deposition at one point that he had conducted hundreds of interrogations of people. He had an almost 50-year career in law enforcement. So they have long histories as investigators. It's not clear yet just how much of that the DA's office is going to go back and reexamine, but they did say in their filing that they're going to go back and reinvestigate some old cases to see if any others are plagued by misconduct and need a second look.
You know, what would be the motivation behind detectives trying to coerce a confession in the first place?
So I think it's important to say first that I've tried to speak to these detectives but haven't had a chance to ask them that question, because I think that's one that a lot of people would ask, which is why would you manufacture something if it wasn't true?
Exactly.
You know, and actually one of the people who has talked about this is Jim Figorski, Veazey's lawyer, who himself was a police officer for a long time before he became a lawyer.
Well, I'd be speculating if I told you my own opinions about why, but I know for a fact that at the time, in the early 1990s, there were a large number of murders in the city of Philadelphia. There were 500 in 1990. And I think as of today, there were 266, just to give you a scale of how bad the problem was in the early 90s. And I'm pretty certain that there was a lot of pressure to solve murders back then. And that, you know, these detectives and plenty of others were under tremendous pressure to get these cases cleared, as they call it. And whether that was a motivation for this, I don't know. But I think it could have been one.
And I think one of the things that Larry Krasner has been outspoken about in challenging is this idea that we have to try and close those cases, that we have to try and make sure we make an arrest, and that if there's problematic evidence at the time of the trial, we just minimize it. Or in some cases, what he has asserted is that people deliberately hid it from the defense. I think what Krasner's trying to do now is take a look back and say, if there are examples of that, we have to make sure that we try and right those wrongs in order to make sure that people aren't in jail when they shouldn't be.
There have been many murder cases under Krasner's watch that have been overturned since he's taken office, right?
Yes. Willie Veazey's was actually the 10th murder case that Krasner's office has helped overturn in just under 2 years since he was sworn into office. And one of the first things he did when he was sworn in was he appointed Patricia Cummings to head up his conviction integrity unit. She was a lawyer in Texas.
I ran the conviction integrity unit in the Dallas District Attorney's Office, and I was also a defense attorney who did work for the Innocence Project of Texas and New York and private practice as well.
Who did similar work down there, which is reinvestigating old murder cases and seeing if there were any issues with them and seeing whether they were problematic and if there was any remedy for them, if they were.
It's an incredibly important job because it really hasn't existed prior to the last 10 years. I think prosecutors never really thought there was a need for a unit, and certainly the statistics didn't bear that out. It's just been in the last two decades, I think, that we've realized how fundamentally flawed our system can be and how we can actually get it wrong and convict innocent people.
In the past, when it was established in Philadelphia under former District Attorney Seth Williams, there was essentially one prosecutor who was dedicated to this unit, and there was a belief among some, at least some defense attorneys in town, that they weren't really taking that responsibility as seriously as they could have, that there was still a mentality of we need to defend some convictions.
We take our job very seriously, both from a legal standpoint as well as an ethical one, and we absolutely believe that if a person is in prison for a crime they didn't commit, it is our obligation to find them, identify what went wrong and do what we can to actually vacate their conviction. It is what we believe doing justice is all about.
Krasner has been pretty steadfast since he took office that they want to both correct the injustices of the past and create policies that can help make a more just city moving forward. He's clearly committed to this idea. I know the Veazey family obviously is happy that he is.
Well, Chris, thanks so much for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
Philadelphia Inquirer reporter Chris Palmer speaking with my co-host, Annette John Hall. The Y is produced by me, Shai Ben-Yakov, along with Annette John Hall, Alex Stern, and Kelsey Hansen, with editorial direction from Katie Culinary. Thanks as well to NBC 10, whose audio you heard at the beginning of the episode. I'm on Twitter at Shai Ben-Yakov. See you Monday.